basically saying give up.
Such a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Y'all look like y'all ready for church. I like that. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all be in one mind and one accord as we get ready for service this morning to let the Lord minister us. If you can, let's just stand. We go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We open up our service. We know that He's already here. We know that we feel His holy presence. And I guess that song, I need to have that posted somewhere that I see it all the time. Said, just give it to the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a prayer request. Prayer request. Well, if you have a prayer need this morning or a praise report, just show by the raising of your hand. Let's just praise God for a moment here. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, dear Lord. We thank you for letting us feel your holy presence, dear Lord, for just always being with us. Lord, through whatever trials we're going through, dear Lord, we know that we're not alone. Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for this season that you've given us, dear Lord, as we're studying and just rereading your word about Easter weekend and other services. Lord, may we dedicate our time and efforts to you. Dear Lord, now as we come to you, dear Lord, you see those hands that are raised. Dear Lord, you know each and every one, whether they're here live or they're watching on the screen, dear Lord, that they're having an opportunity, dear Lord, just to lift their needs to you. Lord, we're asking you to touch, to heal, to mend, to protect. Lord, you know each and every situation, Lord, whether they're spoken or unspoken. Lord, you know the depths of our hearts. Lord, we just thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your provisions. Lord, we ask you to be with those that are in nursing homes, assisted living, dear Lord. We ask you to bless those caretakers and the special love that they show to each and every one in need. Lord, again, dear Lord, with our service this morning, Lord, we dedicate it to you. Lord, we ask now that you'll just bless and continue. Lord, we just give you all the honor in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen again. Let's give the Lord another hand clap for praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Praise God. Yes, Lord. Seated if you can. Turn around and tell somebody that Jesus loves them.
Praise God.
Without His love, without His mercy and grace, there's no way we could sing songs like that and just turn our life over to the Lord. Just praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering, get that out of the way. I've got a couple of announcements this morning. One of them is that although that anyone that wants to help with Easter play, that we're, if you'd meet here tonight at 5, get with us, and we're having an opportunity. Those that are already in it, you know, to be here at 5 p.m., really looking forward to it. And also, one of the announcements to go along with it, and we kind of get the word spread, is that we will be using the Sunday school classes, the youth. We're going to use them in the play this year. Now, parents don't, grandparents don't panic. There is not speaking parts for them and all. We're going to use them like a prop. They're part of the story. They're a big integral part of the story this year and how much God loves them. And so on Easter Sunday morning, their part of Sunday school class will be part of us practicing with the play, and they'll be in the play. So they'll be sitting with us, so they won't be with y'all. Now, if you got a little shy one that doesn't want to, that's fine. We're not forcing anybody. It's just going to be a great time in the Lord. But if you will, just, and they don't have to come to practice. This is going to be something we can work in their Sunday school classes to get them ready. They're all going to be studying about Easter these next couple of Sundays and reliving the story of Christ and all that He's done for us. So that's, that announcement will be that way. And also, Miss Karen has an announcement for us.
Can y'all hear me? Okay. Next Sunday, we are going to be having an egg hunt for the kids' church kids or any other kids if you want to bring your grandkids or anything like that. We're going to do it right after Sunday morning service so you parents can see it and take pictures. We're going to do a special lesson in kids' church, and then we're going to have special snacks. So as soon as church is over, we're going to release them to the yard out there to hunt the eggs. We'll wait for all you guys to get dismissed and come watch. But next Sunday, and then we do need plastic-filled eggs. So if you guys could bring those, we would appreciate it by, like, I don't know. You can bring them Wednesday. You can bring them tonight. You can bring them, like, first thing Sunday morning just so I know how many to hide. Yes? Was that everything? Okay, if you have any other questions, just come see me. Yes, kids need to bring baskets or a bag or whatever. Yeah.
A bucket? Whatever. A barrel. Praise God. I just love working with the children, and there's so many getting involved for this. So if you will, invite somebody to our Easter presentation. It will be that Sunday morning of Easter, and also the adult class that meets up here will be meeting downstairs that Sunday morning too. And if there's anyone who has trouble getting around, for those of you that don't know, you can help them direct, but they can come around the side of the church and come in through the bottom. Yes, Miss Lori. You go ahead. Go ahead. You're better at that than me. I'm at the microphone. Okay. Well, anyway, the Easter lilies, for those of you who don't know, they're brought each and every Easter as a memorative of those that have already gone home to be with the Lord. And so if you'd like to bring an Easter lily that morning, of Sunday morning of Easter, please bring it. And also, if you have a card or if you have a way to give us the name of the people, one or multiples that it represents, just let us know, and we'll have it set up to where they can do that. And we'll also use those lilies to be part of the play that morning, too. The names will be read, so please print them. And most of the people know about this, but it's a special time of memory, and it's a special time of love. Same love that God has shown for each and every one of us for giving us Jesus. Amen. I'm sure I forgot something. Is there anything else? All righty. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Amen. Amen.
decree. There won't be no praying round here. And whosoever calls on any God's name will be cast into the lion's den. Daniel didn't pay the king no attention. Three times a day he prayed to God anyway. When confronted with consequences of the lion's den, I can hear old Daniel say, I don't
have a closet religion.
Oh, no.
I can't hide the God I serve. I got to let the world know wherever I go. I've got to praise and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord.
Shut the lion's jaw, and Daniel was still alive. Daniel used lions for a pillow, and the angels rocked Daniel to sleep. But when he got up, Daniel let everybody know, I'm not ashamed of the God I serve.
I don't
have a closet religion.
A decree.
Yes.
There won't be no praying round you. And whosoever calls on any God's name will be cast into the lion's den. Daniel didn't pay the king no attention. Three times a day he prayed to God anyway. When confronted with consequences of the lion's den, I can hear old Daniel say, I don't
have a closet religion.
Oh, no.
I can't hide the God I serve. I got to let the world know wherever I go. I've got to praise and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord.
And mercy this morning. Amen.
Amen.
As I look out over the crowd this morning, I see different ones that maybe I hadn't seen in a while.
Amen.
But I've been praying for you.
Amen.
Know that I've been praying for you.
Yes, amen.
And I love each and every one of you. But I'm thankful today that my mom is in church today.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe she didn't have the strength to really get up and come, but she wanted to. And I'm believing for God to touch her body. We didn't get the report that we wanted from the doctor this week, but I know God's in control. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. I know what Jesus says. Amen. We might have didn't get such good news on Chris this week, even though I sent out the report when we got the CAT scan. We're still concerned about some things. But God's not, because He's got it. He's the one that's in control of it. And I just praise God this morning. If you have something going on this morning in your body, and your spiritual man, whatever it is, God is here this morning. You don't have to leave the same way that you came into the house today. You can leave changed if you just give it to Him. That's what we have to do. He's in control. Amen. Y'all worship with us this morning.
I was hopeless, I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only songs. I needed someone to come rescue me. And mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me, you healed me. You called me from the grave. You gave me a river. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. And now I'm living. I got forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. You gave me beauty for my guilty. Your mercy did for me, and every morning mercy will restore me. I will proclaim, even if the world may fall before me, I will proclaim.
Sins away. what his mercy did for me. I mean, he's thankful for God's mercy this morning. Amen. How many is thankful for his amazing grace? Oh, come on. Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. God is worthy. Amen. Of every praise. So good to be in the house of the Lord. So good to see each and every one of you this morning. It's such an honor to be in the presence of Almighty God and to feel his anointing and to know that he's still working miracles in this day, in this hour that you and I are living in. We have a special treat for you this morning. Brother Tony's going to be ministering for us this morning. I appreciate this young man, and I just pray that God will just use him in a mighty way this morning. So, Brother Tony, come. Deliver to us what God has laid on your heart this morning. Everybody say, Lord bless Brother Tony. Amen. Jesus.
Well, y'all don't have to get quiet just because I get up here. Ask you a question and get off started. Normally, stand up, we read scripture, but ask you a question this morning. Have you ever had the odds stacked against you? Has anybody in here ever had the odds that are not in their favor? Or maybe the doctors are telling you that it's not looking good for you. Or maybe it's different people telling you you'll never make it in this. You'll never do this. You'll never be this. Well, this morning, if I can, I pray that I would get across to you that God, I felt like he was speaking, telling me that we're going to defy the odds today. Right. Today's the day that we quit going along with what everybody says. Today's the day that we quit accepting defeat. Right. I had a friend, his daughter had cancer, and they went to the doctor. She had been through a bunch of different surgeries, tests, chemo, all this. Well, they went back to the doctor, and he called me, and he's like, man, I'm scared to call and get the results. He's like, what if they tell me what I don't want to hear? I said, well, if you call in defeat, you will 100% get a defeated answer. But if you'll call the doctor in victory, I mean, already have it claimed. I said, I don't want you calling the doctor asking if it's okay. I said, I want you calling the doctor knowing that it's okay, because we've got a church that's been praying for her. We've got children's church that was asked about her every day and would pray for her every Sunday. I said, so your faith may have been a little weak and it may wear and tear it on you sitting in the hospital. I said, but understand, you got other people praying for victory. And when he called back, guess what? He had victory, because they said, we've never seen this before. I'd like to talk to you and tell you that a little while back I talked with him. I hadn't seen him in a while. I got talking with him, and he said, they tell me that what they see in her, they've never seen before. A child so young to have chemo and all this stuff done to him, that if she would have been a day younger, then they couldn't have done it. And I said, it doesn't matter her age. It matters, because we defied the odds. Why did we defy the odds? We defy the odds because we know that we are more than conquerors. You know, sometimes we're defeated. Sometimes we face battles. Sometimes we get beaten and we get burdened and we get wore down. But there's sometimes where we got to stand up and say, I am sick of it. I'll read a scripture where y'all can sit down. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brother Eddie, would you mind praying? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I was praying about what it is that God would want to preach this morning. I was praying, God, use me. If we could stand by a black curtain, behind a black curtain, and you couldn't see me, it'd be fine with me. But I just want God to be able to speak through me, to be able to speak to somebody. And I listened to different preachers sometimes and all, and one of them had talked about defying the odds. And when he did, it just struck. And then I just feels like I couldn't get away from it. But if you go by what the world says, today the odds will be stacked against us all. If you go by what the world says today, then none of us will have victory. We will all be defeated. Because there's none of us worthy enough to serve God. There's none of us worthy enough. But if you see the world we live in today, they're teaching you that you should be selfish and worry about yourself. Don't worry about others and what they go through. Focus on yourself. And it keeps you so busy, life does sometimes, that that's where your focus is. You see, sometimes people miss church. Sometimes people are sick. Sometimes they're struggling. And a lot of times it feels like nobody reaches out to those people because we're so focused on our agenda and what we got to do. I've been the person that has been so focused on what I've had to do that I have been praying for brothers and sisters that wasn't here. But how many times did I call them? How many times did I let them know them? Do you know why? Because they had the odds stacked against them at the time. I don't know what they're facing. I don't know what they were going through. I don't know if it was sickness. I don't know if they're facing battles that nobody knows about. But it's my job to call and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Like my sister said, I've been praying for you. When I was about to just tell her, just take off, Sister Tabitha, let it go. But I've been praying for them. That's right. And we've been praying for them and reach out to them. It's my job. Why? Because we never know when the odds are stacked against them. You know, there's plenty of people in the Bible, if they did exactly what they should have done, exactly what the world thought they should have done, then they'd still have the odds stacked against them. In Luke chapter 7, it's a pretty familiar scripture, and I got a little bit of scripture to read today. 36 through 48. I just hope I can tie it in like it is in my head. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And but behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, when the world, when the Pharisees, which had been him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that touches him, for she is a sinner. For she is, y'all have to help me remember where I stopped off at, for she is a sinner. You see, sometimes when we do stuff, we feel like we're doing stuff for God. There's still other people that are saying, I don't know why they're doing that. If God only knew who that person was, he wouldn't accept that. Because I've not found yet in the Bible where God tells me to share his love and show his love, where he also says, Tony, choose who you love. Choose how you show my love. Choose who you love. Because he doesn't say that. He says to show his love because he had compassion on people. But yet somehow I can justify in myself how I can choose who to show my love to. I can choose who I want to be a Christian to and not to. You see, if she would have done what the world would have wanted her to do, then she would have never got a blessing. If she'd have done what the world thought she would, because she was too bad of a person to be at the feet of Jesus. But let me tell you what this lady had that they didn't have. She had humility. Humility will break you down. It will beat you down. Humility will tear you down. Humility will bring you to a place you've never been before. Sometimes it's hard to be a humble person. Everybody has humility at some extent, but there's sometimes it's hard to be. It's hard sometimes to tell somebody you're sorry when you didn't do nothing wrong. It's hard to go to them and tell them you love them when they've done nothing but wrong you. It's hard to go to these people, and therefore we can justify in ourselves of why we can show love to who we want to show love to. But you see, if we live like the Word of God tells us, and we live like the example He showed us, then we don't get to pick and choose who we show our love to. Because I'm sure if he would have got to pick and choose, then the day he died on the cross, he probably would have set me aside and said, I'm not going to die for this one. Because he's going to be bad enough that I'm just not going to cover him. But he didn't. You see, he had a purpose. And although I know I may not be preaching to millions of people, there's a purpose God has for my life. If it's to touch one soul at work, at home, at the grocery store, wherever it is he wants me to be, whatever it is he wants me to do. I've always said at my job, I swapped over and do something different now. same company, and one of the guys was like, how do you like it? And I said, if it's where the Lord's want me, I'll clean every toilet we got in this place. I don't care, because I know he's got a purpose for me. And if I can fulfill his purpose, then I'm not going to worry about everybody else. Because, you see, sometimes we get so caught up in what everybody else thinks and wants. When we get talking to our teenagers and all, a lot of times, it's hard because they want to fit in. They just want to be accepted. And I try to tell them, it don't change when you get older. When you work with a group of people, you want to be fit in. You want to be accepted by them. You want in that little group. But there comes a point in time in life where you have to say, I know what I'm going to stand for. I know what I'm going to stand firm on, and I know what I'm not going to allow myself to do. There's a point in time where you got to say, if these people want to go over here and do this, I got to make a stand and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm not here to please them. God did not put me here to please everybody. He put me here to please him. And I have a problem sometimes because I like for people to like me. And it's hard to find out that somebody really don't like you. Well, why? What did I do? What's going on? You know, why don't they like me? So I think I'm a pretty likable person. I try to be nice to everybody. But there's certain people that's just not going to like you. But we can't live our life dwelling on those people. We have to live our life for Christ. And we have to live our life to reach out into those souls that are lost, that are broken, that are undone. You see, this lady come in this house, and if she'd have done like the Pharisees and the others wanted her to do, she'd have never got a blessing. She'd have turned around and she left. But what she had in her heart, she had humility. She had an anointment that was very costly. She didn't try to sell it to get the money from it. If you read on in 40, it says, and Jesus answered unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one ought 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto them, thou hast rightly judged. And when I read that, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, we see people out in this world that I don't know if God had ever touched them because they're so far gone. I don't know if God had ever touched their lives because they're so far gone. But what did he say right there? Which one would greatly appreciate it more? It's the one that mowed him the most. And Jesus said to he who forgave the most, and he said unto them, that's rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? You know, because a lot of times we feel as Christians, we're a little step above the other people. Not that we are, but that's how we feel sometimes. I can wear a suit to church. Not that I like suits. Well, I wear them. But I can wear a suit to church. I can comb my hair. I can walk around with my Bible, whether I'm at work or home or wherever. So if I'm walking around with it, people can see that I'm a Christian. People know, oh, there's something about that guy. He's carrying a Bible around. He must be a Christian. So I can walk around and look the part all I want to look. But you see, it's not got nothing to do with how you look, because I don't care if you're up here in tank tops and shorts, if you're preaching the Word of God. That's what matters. But we get caught up. We get caught up that we feel like we look a little better, therefore we stand a little better, therefore we can judge everybody else. That's not where we should be. Because Sister Tabitha missed church Wednesday night, so I'm going to, and I don't know if you was here Wednesday night or not, we were at kids' church. So Sister Tabitha missed church Wednesday night, so I can judge Sister Tabitha and tell her how she should have been here. No clue what goes on in her life. Don't know, and like I'm telling you, I was in downstairs with the teenagers Wednesday. So, but that's how we'll do. We'll pick somebody apart, and we'll pick something apart, and we'll start tearing them down. What's our job to do? Is our job to tear everybody down? No. Do you know why? Because the world will stack the odds against them. It's high time we start taking those odds, and we start telling them, I'll start helping you with them. I'll be there with you. If you feel like the odds are stacked against you and you can't move, come to me, brother. Get my hand, because I'll help you carry that weight. I'll help you carry that load. You see, it's not up to us to tear them down. People got enough troubles in this life. I feel like the odds just stack against them every day, more and more and more and more. And I don't care how good a Christian you are, how bad a Christian you are, the odds stack against you at times. We'd had a, and this is, comical. It's my luck. We had some rent windows placed in our house a couple years ago. We'd have been having some trouble with our Tahoe and all. We had a few problems with it. We've been getting it looked at, fixed, and so it wasn't no big deal. And then something else come along, and you're like, man, get rid of this. And something else come along, and you're like, man, you get rid of this. Well, the other day I was out there cutting grass, and I was in the backyard, and I turned around. And when I turned around, it was a little dusty, so I was trying to turn around and get out, and I slung a rock, and I seen it go up, and I was like, man, that stunk, and went on. Well, I went to sit down to eat supper that night. Karen said, I got supper done, come eat. So I went in, and I sat down, and I was sitting at the table, and I looked, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And Karen was like, what is it? And I was like, God, I was debating, like, maybe it's a spider web. I said, you have got to be kidding me. And she was like, what is it? And I said, the window. And she was like, what? And I was like, just look at it. And she was like, oh, my gosh. Sure as a please, one of the rocks, I guess, shot, went up right into the window and cracked it. But, I mean, it's like, all right, Lord. We've had about enough. You're going to have to give us a break for a week. Stuff's going to have to quit tearing up. Let me get back on top. The thing about it is the odds stack against us. But how do we handle these odds when they start stacking against us? You know, you get looking at the lady with the alabaster box. All she knew was to come and pour her heart out to God. He said, I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped the hairs of her head. Could you imagine washing Jesus' feet with your tears and wiping them with your hair? Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto her, her sins, which are many, he didn't deny that she was a sinful person. He didn't deny that she had struggles. He didn't deny that she was probably not the best person. But he said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You see, if she'd have sat back in the building while they were eating and had it on her heart, and just wouldn't have followed through with it, then when Jesus would have left, she would have missed out on a blessing. When I was younger, I can remember sitting back in the back of the church, and they'd have altar call. When they'd have altar call, you'd be praying to God. It just would get over quick, and you'd get out of there because you'd have them benches just like white knuckles. Just God's dealing with you, pulling on you, and I'm like, I ain't going, Lord. I'm not doing it. Then you start seeing more people go, and you're like, why can't you just pray and get out of here? You know, you pray and nobody goes. Like, if nobody else goes, Lord, it's like the fleece. Put the fleece out, Lord, and it's dry and the ground's wet. I'm good. I'm like, Lord, if somebody will go, then I'll go. And you see somebody get them, like, please let them be going to the bathroom. Please let them be going. And they'd make their way down to the altar, and you'd be like, if somebody else was to get up, you know, I'm not going to go up there. Somebody else will get them. It's like everything you say is like it's happening. It's like, Lord of mercy. But I can remember those days sitting back there. And I can remember times where God has called and put in my heart, and I stayed back there and didn't go down. And there's no telling what kind of blessing I missed out on that night. There's no telling what kind of blessing I missed out on in my life because I wasn't going to submit. You see, these few stories I have about defying the odds, doing what God wants versus what we want. It takes commitment. And it takes the Holy Ghost. You see, the Bible tells us to try the spirits. And you can't try what you don't have. You can't try a spirit if you don't have it. Because if I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm not filled with God's Spirit, I don't know if it's good or bad that's coming against me. All I know that it's something that's coming. So I have to know it. I could go in a restaurant where all they speak is French and I couldn't tell you what I was ordering for nothing because I don't know it. I have no clue. But if I can learn it, if I can get filled with the Spirit, then I can tell you whether it's right or whether it's wrong, whether it's good. We'll go to 1 Samuel 17. You see, it takes commitment to defy the odds. One thing my kids know, they're not happy with it at times, but one thing my kids know is if we sign up for a sport or whatever, we commit to it. That year, we're doing it. If you hate it, I hate it for you. We're doing it for that year. They know that. It's not a secret we keep from them. We're trying to teach them that if you commit to it, you stick with it. Katie's been in dance since she was 2 or 3. She'll be 17 this year, so she stuck with commitment. But she knows what it takes, too. She knows how hard she's got to work, and she knows if there's a goal she wants to achieve, she's got to work to that. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come lightly. Kylie and Trey are the same way. They know if we sign up for something, we're finishing that year. You ain't never got to do it again, but that year we're going to finish it. Why? Because we want to teach them commitment. But I get thinking, as much as I teach them about commitment with ball or dance or cheer or whatever it may be, how much commitment do I teach them about the Word of God? How much commitment do I show them? Do I show them the example I want them to be? Because it's easy to tell somebody something. It's easy to tell you that you need to be committed. It's easy to tell you to turn it over to God. It's easy to tell you that God will take care of everything in your life. But do I live that when it comes down, where the rubber meets the road? Whenever I'm hurting, whenever I'm struggling, whenever I'm facing trials and situations, do I live what I'm telling people? Do I trust Him like I'm telling them to trust Him? Because a lot of times I catch myself saying, all right, Lord, I need a little break now. And then you get reading the Word and you get seeing, you know, people also wonder a lot of times, you know, why does bad stuff happen to us? Have you not ever read people in the Bible? You've not ever read what they faced and they went through? I'm like, Lord, I'm not facing these pestilences and all this. I'm okay. I can fix a broke window. No problem. No problem. We got it. But sometimes when it just keeps piling on, it seems like these odds just keep piling on and they keep packing you down. And the more they keep packing you down, the weigh you down. And sometimes it is hard. It's hard for us to just stand up. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We know we may have the commitment, but God, what else should I do? I have the humility of the lady, but what else should I do, God? Story in 1 Samuel 17, 42 through 48. You may have heard this before. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. So understand what we teach the kids in kids' church, and we teach teenagers. David was a ruddy youth. You ain't too young for God to use you. I tell you what, Brother Keith probably won't mind me saying this, Brother Keith Hembry, said he was at work one day, and he said, was it your side or your back? It was hurting. His back was hurting him. He's like, oh, man. So luckily, he had a little helper that day, Lincoln. He said his back was hurting. He said Lincoln run up, put his hands on him and prayed for him. He said, don't worry about it, Daddy. You'll be okay. But Brother Key said he went on a little bit, and he said that pain kind of hit him again. He's like, oh, and he said, sure enough, here he come again. Around the corner, he heard him, prayed for him again, and said, don't worry about it, Daddy. It's going to be okay. Brother Key said the rest of that day, that pain never come back or never bothered him. If you want to meet someone who's honest and who's sincere, go to kids' church and have a conversation. Be ready what you ask, though, because they're honest. They're going to tell you what they're thinking. Don't ask if your hair looks good, if your clothes match. Don't ask them none of that unless you're ready for it. But you see, David was a ruddy youth. So the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And if you looked at the situation, you looked as a giant that was over 9 foot tall. You looked as a little kid. As the world sees, we already know how this battle's going to go. This kid will never make it. Who would be crazy enough to send a little child to verse a giant? Who would be crazy enough to let their kid go out? And if his daddy knew what he was doing at the time, he may have been telling him no. But he just went to feed his brothers. So you see, the Philistines said, all right, come on out here, and I'll feed you to the fowls of the air. You see, the Philistine's mind, he knew what he was going to do. But what the Philistine didn't know was that we were about to defy all the odds. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David didn't come within himself. David said, I come at you in the name of the Lord. I come at you into the King of Kings. I come to you with the Lord of Lords. Understand that it's not David that you're facing. I may be the shell, but you got to understand there's a God that's got my back. There's a God that's filled me up. So you may see like you're facing just a little child, but what stands behind me is a giant ready to slay and destroy. Why? Because I'm coming at him in the name of God. Why? Because he has defied my God. He's defied the God that I served. And David said, I will not stand for it. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David run away. That David got close enough to see how tall he was and backed down. You see, when the odds are stacked against you, it's natural to want to back down. When the odds are stacked against you, that it may be cancer, that it may be sickness, that it may be hurt, that it may be destruction, it's okay in our flesh to back down. We're like, oh man, we got to get out of here. We're never going to win this battle. Like I told my friend, if you call in defeat, you're already defeated. You're already defeated. If you're calling wanting bad news, guess what? You're going to receive bad news. But I say it's time we defy all the odds. And when we start calling the doctors or we start talking to them, I'm not looking for the negative. I'm looking for the positive. I'm looking for what God is doing in my life. Yeah, they may tell me that I'm not completely healed. But what they're going to tell me is I'm on the road to being healed. Because I know I serve a God that what he did for David, he'll do for me. What he did for anybody in this Bible, he'll do for me. And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David hasted. He did not run away. He did not back down. He did not shy down. He did not turn away. He did not quit. But he went full force and ran. Why? Because he knew what he said and he believed it. If I believe God's fighting the battle for me, then there's no reason to turn my back on it. If I believe that he's taking care of me, there's no reason to turn around. I believe what I said. Yeah, you know what? You may face this battle for a time. It may be for a season. And I may tell you that God has blessed me and he's going to continue. And the doctor tell me, no, he's not. The doctor may tell you, take him home and enjoy him to school age. Because he's not going to make it. Let's defy the odds. How old is he? 44. So understand that we're not just reading about odds being defied in the Bible. We're seeing odds being defied in the life we live today. You may have people tell you that you'll never make nothing. You may have people that tell you that you'll never be anything, that you're useless, that you're worthless. That's okay. Let them talk. Because as long as I am in the center of God's will, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care that I'll never be the CEO of a huge company. I don't care if what I do is clean the toilets, if it's what God wants me to do. Because it's not about my desires in the flesh. It's about what my desires in the spirit are lining up with his will. Because that's where I want to be. I want to be where I can touch the people that he needs touched. I don't want to be necessarily where I want to be where it's a smooth sailing. I want to be where I can touch the people that God needs touched. Why? Because it's time we start defying the odds. You read in Moses, we won't go there, I won't make you read it, but you read in Moses. It's in Exodus 13 and 14. But after all the plagues, Pharaoh finally lets them go. He finally says, just go. But then Pharaoh's heart gets hardened. So understand this as Israelites as well. You've prayed for deliverance. God has delivered you. Now, as the Israelites, I would have thought, in just my little brain, that if God delivered me, then God was going to give me this path wide open, and I could walk down it with no problems. Nobody behind me, nobody around me. God led the way for them. Pillar of fire at night, cloud by day. All right? Well, Pharaoh's heart got hardened. No, I'm not letting them go. I'm not through with them, so we're going to chase them. So what's the Israelites' first thing they done? They said, you brought us this way just to lead us to die. We should have just died where we were. There's no graves, so you brought us out here. How many times in our life has God delivered us and the devil wasn't happy about it? And the devil said, no, I'm going to keep on you about it. You see, the problem is when we think we should be delivered, we think we shouldn't be bothered no more. God's delivered me, so this is back here. But you see, the point is the devil knows where to bother you. The devil knows where to mess with you. The devil knows what gets you. The devil knows what your past is to keep trying to beat you down and wear you down and tear you down. The devil knows this stuff, so he's going to use what he can. So when you're delivered, it's up to us to stay delivered. The children of Israel could not sit still. God had a plan for them, the promised land, and said, follow me. And they said, oh, we'll do it our way. So it took them 40 years to get where they were going to go. Instead of 11, 13 days, something like that, it says you could do the journey in. So it took them 40 years. Why? Because they wanted to do it their way. When I first started reading about the Israelites, I was like, man, how crazy are they? God delivered them, and then here they are fussing and griping, and then I'm like, hold on a minute, this sounds a lot like my life. How many times has God delivered me and moved and showed me things, and then I'm turning around fussing and griping the next week? What all God's done for me in my life, but then here I am, stressed and worried about things that don't even really even matter. Because when you sit and break it all down, it's not getting nobody to heaven, and it's not keeping me from heaven. It really ain't that important to me. I was watching a thing yesterday. It's a Shaolin monk, and I'm not trying to preach what they believe in all that, but they were talking about being centered. And he was talking about how their whole training is commitment for their life. They commit to it. And their training is to not let everything in your head, because he said they still struggle with things as well, not to let everything in your head pull you away to everything else. He said they try to teach you to be centered. And I thought, you know what, if I could get that with God, and I could get him dead center, and me get dead center of his will, and stop pushing and pulling him everywhere we go. I know when we were younger, take Trey, or any of the kids, you take them shopping, you'd have their hands. For a little while, they'd be doing good, and then they'd come through the toy aisle. And when you come through the toy aisle, you'd want to take off running so they didn't see the toys in there. But it's like they had it honed in where it was at, and they'd hit the brakes, and you'd see them just pulling, please let me go, please let me go. So I can remember them doing it. I wonder how many times I've been that way with God. God said, son, I've already delivered you from this. I've already taken you from this. Quit trying to go down this aisle again. Quit running back up the same aisle. Now, not once did my kids go running down that aisle and trip and fall. Did I not come in there and pick them up? Not once did they trip and fall. Did I say, I told you so. You deserve it. And leave them where they were. Because when they tripped and fell, I was there to scoop them up, to make sure their hands was okay, to make sure their knees was okay. Because you see, when they run down the miles, or they run where I told them don't run and they fell, they got a little bruise. You see, when I run away from where God said I've done delivered you from and I fall, then I get a little bruise. But not yet has he not picked me up. Not yet has he failed me and quit coming to get me. You see, these children of Israel, they come to the Red Sea and they was like, here we go, this is it. And everybody knows that God opened the Red Sea for them. Not only did he open the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army come in, and he let it go, and every one of them perished. God makes ways in our lives. He will defy the odds. He will defy whatever people are telling you, whatever the devil's telling you. He does not say that you will not face a trial. He does not say that you will not face a situation. You know, if you look in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, we could go through the Bible and we could talk about Joseph. We can talk about how he kept the faith. We can pick any book in the Bible and open it up and see where God moved in their lives and defied odds. You can see where God heard their prayer, heard their cry. But there's a man named Saul who was dead set to kill Christians. He was imprisoning them because he thought what he was doing was right. But in Acts, I think it's chapter 9, 6 or 9, he's on the road to Damascus and God calls him. He's blind for a few days, and Ananias prays for him. He gets his sight back. And from that moment on, Saul was no longer a destruction to the Christians. If you read in that, it says he made havoc for them. So from then on, no longer did he make havoc for them, but he was on their side. But what I believe happened in Paul's life is that he never forgot where he was. He never forgot what he went through. He never forgot the type of person he was. Even though he thought what he was doing was good, he never forgot it. If you read in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27, this is Paul. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Those are a little bit of the things Paul faced once he became a Christian. If you read that and you look back into all those things, you see what Paul faced, what he went through, how he was beat. But not once did he ever turn back, because he knew there was a greater reward. He knew that he had to hold strong to Christ. He knew that he had to hold strong to his calling, because he had a purpose. I'm here to tell you today that you have a purpose. God has a purpose in your life, and you can defy the odds against you. You see, I don't know who this is for. I don't know if the devil's been on you or if it's just for myself, because sometimes it does seem like, Lord, the more I try to do for you, the more it seems like I struggle or something happens or something goes wrong. So maybe it's just for myself, but I felt like God telling me, it's time we defy the odds, son. It's time we quit accepting defeat. It's time we quit accepting being beat down. You know what? The battles are hard sometimes. The battles are long sometimes. And it's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. And it's easy to just say, God, I can't do it no more. But if you want something in your life, fight for it. If you want God to do something for you, commit to Him. I'm not talking about little commitment. I'm talking about commit wholeheartedly to Him. You want to see God start doing something? Start praying. Start fasting. Start seeking God. Start being, not that you got to be in the church every time the door is open so you can help and bless others. You want to start seeing God do something, you know, start committing to Him completely. Because you see, a lot of the times I want to commit to God just a touch, but I want Him to bless me a ton. And if I commit to him a touch, why would he bless me a ton? I got to commit to him a ton if I want him to bless me a ton. And you know what? One thing I can guarantee you, if you commit to him wholeheartedly, you will still face trials. You will still face troubles, and you will still face situations. But the deeper you get in with him, the more you know that I'm not fighting this battle alone. I'm not fighting by myself. If I feel like I'm going up against the Goliath, it's not because I feel like I can do something. But as I know that I got an angel that's standing behind me saying, bring the battle on, because sometimes it gets too much for me. Sometimes I get wore down and I get tore down, and sometimes I feel like I can't make it. But that's when he's standing behind me saying, bring them on, because even though you're tired, I'm not. I'm ready to fight. So if we'll just hold strong to what God's given us, if we'll hold strong to the promises, then we'll start seeing the blessings. We'll start seeing the miracles God got in our life. You see, we give up too easy and we quit. Well, it's just not God's will. You know, sometimes it's not God's will, but I will not go down without a fight. If it's not his will, then it's going to be because he told me it's not his will. It's not going to be because I give up. Because you see, David went with boldness. David didn't shy down and turn around with Goliath. David went with boldness. Even though the world said you will not win this battle, there's no way to win it. You're just a kid. He says, it's a good thing I don't care what the world thinks, but if I can focus on God and what he's got for me. I remember Brother Chris said one night, he was talking about, he was up here preaching, and we were talking about finances and stuff, and I told him afterwards, he said, your father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And that may not seem nothing to you, but it hit me like a ton of bricks, like, how have I not read that or focused on that or is not sunk in? Because it don't matter if your battles are financial. It don't matter if your battles are physical. It don't matter if your battles are spiritual. God has got your back, and he can defy every odd, because we can't outgive him. We can't outwork him. And if we'll commit and we'll live for him, then you'll start seeing the blessings pouring in your life. A lot of the times it's us that change. Micah Tyler sings a song that says, I believe it's different. And he talks about his brother had cancer. They got hit with a flood at their house. They were losing everything. And he was like, God, can't you sting this stuff? And he said, finally, God spoke to him. And he come up with a song. And he said, God, don't change it, but change me. A lot of times it's our perspective that has to be changed. A lot of times we have to go through the rough times to see he's still got our back. Because if life's always easy and it's always smooth, we've proven time and time and time and time again that we'll go right off the track and go do what we want. But if we have the hard times that pull us back and hold us, then we know God's fighting for us. If you would all mind, if you don't mind standing. I don't know if this spoke to you or not this morning. It may have been just for me. But I felt like I delivered what God has given me. But I feel like I just want to tell you, don't accept the defeat. Defy the odds. When people tell you something this week and it looks like the odds are stacking up, just remember, defy the odds. Because we're not going to accept defeat. I'm not going to accept the odds stacking up, beating us down and tearing us down in our life. I'm not going to let the devil win battles. And you know what? I want to reach out more to souls that are lost. I want to reach out to those that are hurting, to those that are struggling. And if I get my mindset and my focus on God, then he'll give me the opportunity to be able to do that. If the musicians want to come, if you would bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to know that no matter what you face, no matter what trials you're seeing or you're going through or what trials are going to come up this week or next week, know that you don't have to accept those odds. Know that we can defy those odds. But I want you to do something too. I want you to make up in your mind that you're going to commit to God. I want you to make up in your mind that, Lord, today's the day I'm going to commit to you like I've never committed before. I heard a preacher say, I was listening to, he said, you know, these newcomers come and get filled with the Holy Ghost and they're on fire and they're wanting to tell everybody. And he said a lot of the seasoned saints say, oh, don't worry about them because they'll calm down and be like us for long. And that's not where we need to be. If somebody gets on fire for God, I want them to say, I want to go talk to Brother Tony because I know he's on fire too and we're going to start spreading it. That's what we want. So commit your life to God. make a commitment that, Lord, we're going to start defying odds, me and you, because I'm going to start living for you, and I'm going to start doing what I need to do for you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. You know, Daddy used to tell me, can't, never could. Can't, never could. I would assure you, if you will put your faith and trust in God, God will always make a way. This altar is open. If you have a need this morning, please bring it before the altar, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Amen.
A prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've worn shackles and chains. I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing all. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man, breaks him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and he showed me what to do. By
day she met Jesus there. He told her of her sinful past and changed it all around. And like the woman so now, come and see. But the water he gave me made me new again and set my spirit free. Now there's a well and Jesus stands there by. He's offering you this water too. It gives eternal life. No more sleepless nights, no lonely days, no reason to be blue. And like the woman so long ago, saying to come and see, come see the man who told me all the wrong I've done. Is not this the Christ, the blessed Holy One? I went for water. Come and see, come see the man who told me all the wrong I've done. Is not this the Christ, the blessed Holy One? I went for water, but the water he gave me.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's seas. When I'm tossed, it says, it sends out a light, a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me o'er. And if it wasn't for that old lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Everybody that lives around me says, tear that lighthouse down. You know the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it hanging round. But when my mind goes back to that stormy night, when just in time I saw the light, yes, the light to that old lighthouse that stands there on a hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rock,
I'd like for everybody that's in this building, stretch your hands forward. They want a prayer for Brother Eddie and Sister Penny and what it is they're facing. I hope everybody knows how important Brother Eddie and Sister Penny are to us and what it is they're facing and they go through. Sister Brenda wants them to stand in and get prayer. And I don't think one or two need to be praying. I want the whole church praying for them.
Where would this should be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sea, He has shown His light around me, that I might clearly see. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse,
tell me,
where would this ship be? If not for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be?
Tell somebody God can. Tell your neighbor God can. You fill in the blank. God can do anything. God can do all things. Amen. One more time for Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Tony, thank you for the wonderful word that we've heard this morning. May we all be more dedicated and more committed. I want to leave you with just one thought that nothing to add to the sermon whatsoever, but you know, as David came up
to fight the giant. He didn't come to fight. He came to feed his brothers. And there was a need there. And he addressed the need because he couldn't understand why nobody else was out there fighting the giant. You know, his brothers were more physically able than he was, but they just stood by. Had it been Eliab done the same thing that David did, God would have blessed through Eliab. But he wasn't willing. He wasn't willing. David was. Didn't matter that he wasn't as big, he wasn't as physical, he wasn't as strong. Because that wasn't what God was looking for. He was looking for somebody to be faithful. But what really troubles me is his brother stood by and let him go out on that battlefield alone and face that giant. I hope we never do that. If one of our brothers or sisters is down in the valley and they're fighting the biggest giant they've ever seen, let's don't stand up there and watch. Let's go down there and support them. Amen. Amen. We may not be the one. God's the one. He can get honor and glory. But we can sure support them, can we not? Amen. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Amen. Hope to see you here tonight. Looking forward to whatever God's got in store for us. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you. How we thank you for your precious word, the man of God that stood and brought it to us. Father, help us to be more dedicated even when the odds are stacked against us. Even when it looks like things are not in our favor, help us to continue to put our faith and trust in you and know, God, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever even ask or think. I pray your blessing upon this congregation. I pray that you will lead us and guide us and direct us and keep us safe from all harm and danger. Continue to bless those who stand in need of prayer, those that are sick, those that are afflicted. And Father, let us never forget those who are lost. Let's pray for a revival, God, that will bring the lost to an altar of repentance. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed.